On this episode, we talk with chiropractor and functional neurology practitioner, Dr. Amanda Smith.
You're listening to the Chiro Compass Podcast with Dr. Norm DeBalos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Chiro Compass Podcast, where our mission is to help prepare students and new graduates for the real world of chiropractic practice. On this episode, we're joined by Dr. Amanda Smith. She's going to share with us her journey from athlete to chiropractic student to pursuing her diplomate in functional neurology. Admittedly, I know very little about functional neurology, so thanks in advance to Dr. Amanda for putting up with my questions and helping us understand functional neurology a bit more. Okay, guys, well, welcome back to the Chiro Compass Podcast. I'm joined today by a former student and now functional neurology superstar. I'll let her get into that part of it, Dr. Amanda Smith. Dr. Amanda, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. As you and I were chatting a little earlier, I am very ignorant when it comes to the world of functional neurology. I know it's a big component of a lot of practices nowadays. So later on, we'll get into what is it and how other students and other chiropractors can start to learn that. But just for some background, let us know who you are and how you got to chiropractic.
Well, I ran cross country and track in college, and I had a lot of stress fractures. I had like 6, which is obviously pretty abnormal. And, you know, did the PT route and MD route and athletic trainers. And, you know, they said some things that made sense, but nothing really worked until I went to a chiropractor. And I probably have a cam pincer misalignment in my hip and got some adjustments and got some more range of motion and ended up being more biomechanically sound when I was running. And I've been pretty injury free since then. So I was like, yeah, this is definitely what I have to do with my life. So went to nice. Life University, and that's where it all started.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. When you were, I guess, were you receiving like functional neurology type of a treatment before you went to chiropractic school?
No, functional neuro is new for me. I did the whole sports chiropractic route for 2 years, and then recently just kind of started working towards my neurology diplomate.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. Was there something that interested you in functional neurology? Like, how did you even learn about it?
Yeah, so two of my roommates in chiropractic school were functional, or were doing the diplomate program while they were in school. They took all the CARIC modules and then sat for the exam. And then I actually did my clinical rounds at a functional neurology office, but I was already so embedded in the sports chiropractic model. Like, I did my master's at the same time and then sat for the CCSP and the CCEP and did all those sports chiropractic seminars like ART and Graston and dry needling that I thought that was my route, you know, like I came from this sports background. But then after practicing for 2 years, I kind of felt like I was, I don't want to say I was bored with what I was doing, but I was like, there's got to be more to it. Like, you know, and so kind of reassessed that and decided that that's the direction I wanted to go. Because you can still, you know, do all the adjusting and things like that, but you just look through a different lens, like a more of a neurology lens than orthopedic lens.
Right. So what are in a functional neurology practice then, I guess, well, in your practice, so you're doing both the chiropractic adjusting and the functional neurology, I guess, protocol?
Yeah, I don't think they have to be separate. I think you can kind of look at it, you know, if you just think, you know, most offices, you think of the bottom up approach where neurology thinks more top down. You just have to think what's going on in the brain for everything you do, you know?
Okay. Gotcha. So it's, we had another guest on the podcast who she and her brother are both chiropractors. She focuses more on the chiropractic side. He focuses more on the functional neurology side, but they work well together. So, you know, it's not a surprise to me that you're able to do both. I guess, what are there cases that you would, that would need functional neurology more than chiropractic, or is every case both a chiropractic case and a functional neurology case in your office?
Yeah, I would say there's some that you have to only treat with neuro, like the neuro model, like a cerebellar tremor or something like that. I don't know if, I mean, adjustments will make them feel better if, you know, they have, you know, a sore knee or something like that, but you're not going to really be able to treat their tremor with just chiropractic adjustments. That's just not going to work. Right. So you have to do more, it's going to be heavier on the neurology side, I would say.
Right. Yeah. I've always preached that, we like from somebody who does just straight chiropractic, we are finding the subluxation and fixing the subluxation, and that's it. So if somebody comes in with symptom, whatever, symptom X, if, you know, I keep trying to train our CAs and being able to answer this question, you know, somebody calls in and say, hey, do you treat, you know, let's just say, you know, I'll just throw an easy one, low back pain. Like, well,
yep.
Kind of, it depends on what's causing the low back pain. If the low back pain is because you were moving furniture and you just strained a muscle, well, there's no subluxation there. So no, that's not, your particular back pain is not what we're going to fix. So the reason I'm saying that example, I do strongly believe that we have to get to what's causing it. Even though a subluxation can cause potentially any problem in the body, that doesn't mean every problem is fixed through a chiropractic adjustment. We need to find out what's causing it. So I think being, you know, knowing or learning functional neurology, you kind of open yourself up to being able to look at it from a different perspective instead of trying to force it into that subluxation model all the time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're treating the physiology, not the pathology, if you will, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ooh, you're using big words. I haven't used these words since sports, man.
Oh, pathology, big word. Yeah.
I know subluxation was a big one for me. That was, you know, four syllables. All right. So going back a bit, you had mentioned, you know, for those who are listening who may not know the terminology or know what we're talking about, you had mentioned earlier about the Carrick modules. Could you explain what those are?
Yeah. So it's referred to as the 800 series, and it goes into some pretty in-depth anatomy of the central nervous system. The first one's like neuron theory and receptor activation, and the next one's neuromuscular applications, things of that nature. And I believe it's about 16 modules that you have to do. And then you sit for a pretty intensive exam. And he also has, it's at the CarrickInstitute.com. So that would probably be best for everyone to get the most information there. And they have things like vestibular rehab and benign positional vertigo seminar series also. And I think it's, For me, it's been the best seminars that I've ever taken. So I like those a lot.
Well, that's right. You've not been to my seminars. So that's okay. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
You're right. No, heck no. I'm not that smart. So yeah, we'll put the link to CarrickInstitute.com in the show notes. So we'll make sure people can look into that.
Awesome.
So just so I'm understanding it. So these are different modules that you take to learn functional neurology, learn how to apply it, learn how to actually use it in practice?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And then by taking this board, does that give you another set of initials behind your name? Does that give you, I mean, is that like recognized by different states or what is taking that board do other than confirming that you understand the material?
I believe that's it. I'm not sure the legal ramifications if you get any more. Like, for example, the CCSP is a chiropractic or certified chiropractic sports physician. So I can legally call myself a physician in the United States, in all states, depending, even though the law differs from that in certain states.
Right.
But I don't believe you can call yourself a neurologist. Those are all the things that as chiropractors, I think we need to be really careful of.
Absolutely.
You know, so even saying the physician part, I think I need to be careful with that. You know, some folks don't appreciate that.
No, it varies widely from state to state. I remember back when I was, I always keep referring back to it. I'm just so old, but back when I was looking to graduate and in North Carolina, they called chiropractors, chiropractic physicians. So a lot of the chiropractors there that I went to shadow, they on their business cards, it said chiropractic physician. I was like, what's the difference? They're like, that's just what they call us in North Carolina. So I know it kind of varies, you know, what you can call yourself or what you can say. For me, I'm not so hung up on a title, but it's more, you know, what now that kind of expands. By having a diplomate in functional neurology, you can now confidently address different issues as they come in. What are some common things that you would say would be, you know, a slam dunk for somebody who does functional neurology? Is it like concussions? Is it vertigo?
Yeah, we see a ton of concussions, a ton of, you can say vertigo or just dizziness, because we'll see, like, I had a patient this past week that had maldabarkment syndrome, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically like you rode a ride at Disney World and you felt like you never got off the ride, which is absolutely miserable. Yeah. And then we do some POTS. So we've actually seen a couple patients that have had COVID, and one of the symptoms from that, or residual symptoms, is they have the postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. So, and then anxieties and depression and the mental health stuff. But again, we're, just to be clear, we're treating the physiology, not the pathology, you know?
We don't treat the particular symptom or the classification or the combination of symptoms. We're removing interference.
And then migraines and then the headaches and the and the clinic I work at is Georgia Chiropractic Neurology Center, and my boss, Dr. Ellis, is actually a massage therapist also. So we see some pretty interesting fascial cases and that have scar tissue and like just knee pain that like no one can fix. And we're able to figure that out too. So it's pretty cool.
Thanks. So do you, in actual practice, how long have you been with this practice?
About 6 months.
Okay. Right. Cause you went the sports chiropractic route first and then you came to this practice. Is that right?
Yeah, made my way back. Yeah,
I got you. So, and you are in Georgia. Where in Georgia are you?
In Marietta, actually, about 5 minutes from Life University.
Oh my goodness!
I know.
No competition there. That's fine.
No, none.
So, do you? I guess in that practice, you're seeing. I mean, obviously, you're seeing patients that come to you directly, or to your clinic directly. Are you getting referrals from other healthcare providers, like other chiropractors or other medical doctors? Like where do your patients come from?
Yeah, a lot of chiropractors actually from, I mean, specifically the Southeast, just because of, you know, location, but we've seen people from, we had a guy come in from like Costa Rica the other day and, and some professional athletes that fly in and, we'll get, referrals from chiropractors and then even like ophthalmologists and some other neuro doctors and things like that. PTs.
Nice. Yeah. So it seems like, you know, the whole point of me, you know, wanting to pick your brain about this is that so students who are kind of looking at their career path, you know, now they understand. So you would recommend that people, if it's their passion and they're able to handle the extra hours and the extra coursework, you know, if they have a passion towards neurology, this is a satisfying thing to add to your practice or focus of your practice.
Yeah. I mean, cause you can just treat so many more things. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, that the tremors, you can't treat some of those, you can't treat POTS with an adjustment, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. I think it's really, I mean, you know, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day, which is, you know, I'm someone that wants to do it all. So right. I would say absolutely, you know, do the sports thing, do the neuro thing, just learn things, go to seminars, you know, absolutely.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment too. I mean, you've got this, you know, running cross country and I see you cycling all the time on social media. So, I mean, you're just trying to beat yourself up. So I think that kind of transfers over to the mental capacity. You're like, oh yeah, school isn't hard enough. Let me take this neurology diplomate. Yeah, that's a piece of cake.
Yeah, how miserable can I make myself and then, you know, still enjoy it? Yeah, that's kind of my life.
Right. Yeah, I think once you get that diplomate, then I don't know what is next for you. I was just going to joke about that, but yeah, what is, you know, is there another level after the diplomate, like a fellowship or something?
Just seminars and things like that, but I don't know. I mean, I'll probably like work on my personal life. Maybe I'll find a husband or something.
Yes. I was going to say, if you're trying to make yourself miserable, then yeah, maybe marriage is the right way to go. So there you go. I should probably edit that part out. No, I'm going to leave it in. Well, cool. So, I mean, my brain is going in so many different directions with questions, but I want to kind of keep it focused. So when did you start going to the Carrick seminars? I guess, you know, they weren't all online at that point. Were you still in school when you were doing that, when your roommates kind of turned you onto it?
Yeah, well, they were doing them online, and we had this really awesome screen projector in our living room and a really cool house. So people would come over together and do them. And I would watch them, but I would never, they have like little quizzes and, you know, you got to like log in to get credit for them. Like I wouldn't do that part, you know, I was just trying to learn things at that part.
Right.
But yeah, now being at the clinic, I need to thoroughly understand everything because I see patients like that, you know, so it's a little different.
What's your, so in practice, what is practice like? I mean, like what kind of, you know, you've got adjusting rooms, I guess, but now you've got, you know, a lot of other, you have other equipment, you've got open areas, like what, kind of describe your layout for me.
Yeah. So every doctor has their own office, and, you know, we do stuff that you need to do in private in there. And that's where our adjusting tables are. And then we have a really open therapy area and we have an interactive metronome, which is just one of our therapies. And then we have an NSI, which is this computer or like a computer program that we have on a touchscreen TV. So you have a bunch of like games, neuro games on that we use as therapy. We have virtual reality, a tilt table, thing areas that we can do certain eye exercises, an oxygen chamber, things like that.
Man, you got all the toys.
Yeah, it's fun day. I enjoy going to work every day.
You're just playing video games all day. See, now I get it. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it ain't cheap to start up a functional neurology clinic. You know, it sounds like there's a lot of other to do it properly. Anyway, you would need a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can. You know, you can. Everyone starts out. You know, at I don't know if everyone starts up, but people start out at a lower budget. You can do, once you understand what you're doing with neurology, I mean, you can get an interactive metronome app. The NSI, a lot of the games you can do manually, like saccades and things like that, like memory games. I don't know if you can really replace virtual reality, but in the tilt table, I mean, that's not super pricey, but...
Yeah, so it I guess if students are curious about this, you know, I rarely recommend that people just start up on their own right out of school anyway. But if people are curious about that, I definitely recommend that they shadow. Speaking of shadowing, so you're right there near Life University. Is your clinic open to students just coming and checking it out and just kind of staying out of the way and observing?
Yeah, definitely. And I would highly recommend if anyone's interested to do that. We're more than happy to accommodate students and answer all the questions we can. That's one thing I wish I would have done more when I was in school. But again, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day. But I think shadowing is super valuable.
I highly agree. I always say it's, you know, school will help you get the degree and help you to pass your chiropractic boards, but it's what you do outside of school that really makes you a good chiropractor, going to seminars, practices, going to clubs, things like that.
Couldn't agree more.
So tacking on to that, is there, other than going to shadow practices, would you, and, you know, other than, you know, kind of checking out the CarrickInstitute.com, What kind of advice would you give to students who think they might be interested in this? Are there other books, other resources, any other websites that they should go to, podcasts they should check out?
I think neuro is something that you need some guidance with. If you just jump in with some of those neurology textbooks are really heavy. Yeah. So I would definitely find a mentor or go to if your school has a club or just something like that, like something you want to do it with someone or have a mentor with for this.
Right. Yeah. You want a tour guide. Definitely. You don't want to
do
it on your own. There'll be dragons. back, I mean, I guess taking even a step back from functional neurology, just as a chiropractic student and graduate, is there anything you wish you had done more, or you wish that, you know, if you had to do it all over again, you know, even without functional neurology, what are some things that you would have done school-wise that you think would have helped better prepare you for practice?
If I could have found time to shadow more or go to neuro club, that's right. About the only thing. I shadowed a ton before school, like in undergrad. I shadowed MDs and PTs and the ER and athletic trainers. And wow. I did a bunch of that beforehand. So I think I thought I had it figured out, but I don't know if you ever have it figured out completely, you know, that's why they call it practice. Cause you're always learning more. You're always seeing, oh man, someone, they did it that way. Like that looks better than how I've been doing it. Maybe I'll change it to that. You know? I think you always have to be learning and, just have that mindset that every day you're going to learn something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Other than, you know, technique and, you know, other than the chiropractic side of it, as far as the business side of it, that's something you learned through shadowing as well. I know school doesn't adequately prepare you for business or marketing or anything like that. Is that, you know, kind of, I guess, where did you learn business and marketing, or where are you still learning business and marketing?
I think that's also an evolving process. You're always still learning, you know, how to market yourself, how to do business. Right. But yeah, just as soon as I started working, I started to understand the numbers game and things like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So kind of taking a step back from the functional neurology again, are there specific resources or books or podcasts that you would recommend just for chiropractic students in general, not just those who are wanting to focus on functional neurology?
Yeah, for a book, I really like Everyone Communicates, Few Connect by John Maxwell. And then the podcasts that I typically listen to are The Gate Guys and Talk Neuro to Me, and then Ben Greenfield.
Gotcha. Talk Neuro to Me. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part from the Carrick Institute also.
Gotcha. Okay. Do they go over like cases, or they go over like new research, or probably everything, huh?
Yeah. A little bit of everything for sure. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's it. It seems like, you know, my impression from it at least is like that's a whole world. I mean, it seems like to be a chiropractic student is like being a runner, and to do functional neurology is to be a triathlete. You know, it's like you really got to. It's not just like, oh, I'll do this too. It's like you really got to get into that world. That's new equipment, new training. You got to really figure it out. Is that? I'm trying to put that into Dr. Amanda Smith terminology there.
Yeah, I would agree. It feels like an animal right now. You know, it's just like I said, orthopedics felt kind of finite, but neurology feels infinite to me at the moment. You know, they're still learning more things about the brain all the time. Right. So there's going to be newer and newer research coming out, and I just think it's a pretty hot field right now. So. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there are, you know, with this being, you know, a specialized field and a difficult field to get into, I can't imagine there are that many clinics that are doing functional neurology at that level. So it seems like, and this is just me speculating, having this extra certification or having this extra way to delineate yourself from the average chiropractor in a strip mall, it seems like you would, that's just from a business standpoint. We've already talked about how it would help additional patients, but from a business standpoint, it would set you apart. Is that kind of what you're seeing? You're seeing
definitely, definitely.
You see cases that are not just the standard, you know, like it hurts when I, you know, when I use my computer. You've got people who are saying like, I've been dizzy since I was 13.
Yeah, it's a very atypical clinic. Like I said, I shadowed a ton in undergrad and such, all disciplines, and I've never seen anything like this clinic that I'm at now. Granted, my boss was Dr. Carrick's first assist and learned functional neurology from the guy himself. So he's kind of has that reputation of being able to fix things, which is really awesome to have someone like him to learn from. We had someone with melisma the other day where they have like these full like hip flexion tremors. And then just things that are just out there for me, they're out there, you know?
Right.
And, but I'm happy. I'm super happy to be there and super happy to help these people. Cause, you know, it seems like no one else is fixing this stuff. It seems like, we're one of the few areas in chiropractic and in healthcare that is able to fix some of this stuff.
Right. Yeah. I see it, you know, my exposure to it, and again, I might be misunderstanding it, but I just see this as a way where, you know, without functional neurology as a discipline, you know, what are the patient's options? You know, they're going to go surgery or they're going to go medication. There's not really a natural, quote unquote, way to approach it other than functional neurology.
Right.
So I think it's important work because it can, you know, again, to put it back into chiropractic terms, it can kind of honor the inherent healing powers or the recuperative abilities of the body. As long as we can get rid of that interference, and we can get rid of it without the use of drugs or surgery in a lot of cases, if we catch it from a natural perspective. I'm sure I'm not using the proper, you guys would use different adjectives to kind of to classify it. But for me, it seems like if I had a patient that wasn't getting better with my chiropractic adjustments, I would seek out a functional neurology practitioner before I would say, hey, go back to your medical doctor.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause there's just things that I didn't do that I do now, like just look for primitive reflexes. And so you think about back pain, like, you know, you can have someone that's of any age, really, I would say that, you know, they have a primitive reflex. And you know, that's a property of their frontal lobe that I think you got to rehab that before you just think an adjustment's going to help, you know? So just using that neuro lens and understanding what's going on, why they're not getting better, what other angle you can take other than an adjustment or soft tissue or a TENS unit or whatever, or, you know, taking a pill.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we're professing to be doctors of cause, we got to figure out what's causing it. And if, you know, it sounds like the more we learn, you know, in the functional neurology space, that there's a lot of healing that can be done at that level. As opposed to just, you know, well, if chiropractic didn't work, well, then your only other option is medicine. You know, we've got functional neurology as another natural approach, I guess.
Totally.
Let's see. I had a couple more questions for you, but I keep going off on these tangents because again, this is a topic I'm not familiar with, so I want to just pick your brain completely about it. But yeah. Let's see. Would you, just going back to just chiropractic school in general, do you feel? Well, I guess, let me ask, is there a functional neurology class that's being taught, or is it just a club right now?
So we learned a lot of stuff in neurodiagnosis, I believe is what the title of the class was.
Right.
And I think that stuff is completely in our wheelhouse. I mean, we could have learned a lot more maybe in school in that class, but it wasn't emphasized as much as the orthopedic diagnosis classes and stuff were. So we learned a lot of the stuff that we do every day. You learn it more in depth in club, and then even more in depth in the Carrick modules. So yeah, I mean, I think, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. It seems like, you know, I mentioned it earlier, chiropractic school is designed to help students to pass boards. So stuff like that is on chiropractic boards, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a curriculum shift.
Right.
So yeah, if people want to get this, you know, then they're going to have to do extracurricular stuff, which again is how you become a better chiropractor. You go to the stuff that's not, if you just learn the basics that'll help you to pass boards, you are in for a rude awakening when you get out into practice.
Totally agree. Yep.
Okay. Well, what's next for you? Is this it for you? This is the clinic that you want to grow old in? Are you looking to open up your own place? You looking to, you know, expand across the country?
I really, really like my work family and my office and being back in Georgia. So yeah. I'm pretty content right now. I had trouble making a decision, I think, for the first 2 years, but I think, I mean, that's okay. You got to figure out where your forever home's going to be. And I think this is it.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I will say, you know, as somebody who's moved around for the past 20 years, even if it's not, that's okay. You take, you take you with you when you go. So, you know, all the extra knowledge, all the clinical experience that you gain, you can take that and apply to something else. I always say it's like, all I want to be is a good quarterback. And then, so if my team isn't doing well, or if there's another team across, you know, across the country that says, hey, we're looking for a good quarterback. Well, now I've made myself more valuable, so I can take my skill set with me wherever I go.
Definitely.
Well, cool. I guess just to kind of tie it all up then, is there a way that students can contact your office to see about shadowing, or, you know, they can follow you at all? You said it's Georgia Chiropractic Neurology Center?
Yep. Yeah, you can. And then our social media is Healthy Brain Now on Instagram. And then we have a Facebook page. And then a good email would be office@healthybrainnow.com.
Okay. So if they email office@healthybrainnow.com, then they can just say, hey, I'm interested in shadowing. I'm a student and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no problems.
Okay. What about, I don't know if you know of any opportunities like for students at Palmer or students at Parker or, you know, Sherman or anything like that. I guess for Sherman, they could drive it to Atlanta if they had to, but do you know of any other offices that are close to those schools?
I don't, but if they were to email the office, I'd be happy to figure it out.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, cool. My head is like, now I want to go to, you know, CarrickInstitute.com and look that up, you know, because I, you know, being 20 years in practice, I'm always looking to learn something new. I doubt I have any time to do anything like this, but you know, I always want to check out new possibilities. So
I encourage that.
You've given me a lot to chew on here. Any final things that you want to tell our listeners? This is for the chiropractic students and the new graduates.
Oh man, I think we covered a lot of things today.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, so everybody go check out Dr. Amanda Smith over at the Georgia Chiropractic Neurology Center. You know, definitely shoot her an email. If you're interested in this stuff, she's you know, she knows way more than I could possibly ask her questions about. So I would highly recommend that. But Dr. Amanda, I just want to say thank you again, and I wish you the best success in practice.
Oh man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, everybody, thank you for listening to the Chiro Compass Podcast. All right, well, thanks again to Dr. Amanda for sharing her passion about functional neurology. Hopefully, we'll have more episodes with more functional neurology practitioners in the future. A list of resources mentioned in this episode are in the show notes. And to reach Dr. Amanda or to shadow her office, please reach out to her at office@healthybrainnow.com. And finally, for more info about us at the Chiro Compass, please visit chirocompass.com and please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And please consider sharing this with your classmates so we can help as many future chiropractors as possible. Thanks for listening.